And I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but people who are experts in their field, those are the ones that I like to hear from. Those are the ones that I want to dip into to get a little bit of knowledge from them. And if James wrote anything, or James says anything about prayer, man, you know, we ought to be like that dog salivating with his tongue hanging out of his mouth. We ought to be salivating to hear to anything that James says.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We invite you to join us today for the first half of How to Pray for Wisdom, which is based on James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. So if you have your Bible, please open it to the book of James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. As we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of How to Pray for Wisdom.
Hold on to your notes and keep them together. A lot of valuable information, and I just feel that, you know, God, and I've been doing a lot of reading and meditating in prayer, and I, you know, just the stuff that I'm seeing, God is putting some things on my heart that I'm not seeing. And like, you know, for instance, the message today, I was looking for something that I could, you know, refer to, and there was nothing. And so literally, you know, I just kind of put this message together, you know, from the ground up. So I think there's a lot of unique things about this series. And hopefully today, you know, will be one of those unique times when you can, you know, use this in your own personal life. In 1999, State Farm did a study of the most dangerous intersections in America. And this study took into account where the most accidents had taken place. For better or for worse, the loser or the winner, however you want to put it, of this study was the Beltline Road in Midway, Addison, Texas. There were, in this year's time, there were 263 reported crashes at that intersection in the Dallas suburb. Now, that averages out to about 5 accidents per week. And that didn't even count the number of fender benders that took place at that same intersection. As we think about that intersection, that dangerous intersection, sometimes we drive down the road of life, and there are dangerous intersections that we come to. There are forks in the road that we have to take. And sometimes when we come to those forks in the road in life, you know, we don't know whether to stop or to go. We don't know whether to turn right or to turn left. We don't know whether to go ahead or go back. And sometimes we find ourselves in a dangerous intersection, and we really need to know what to do. Maybe you're sitting here today, and there's a major decision that you are faced with. You are at a dangerous intersection in your life, and you need to know which way to turn. Maybe there is a relationship that you're in that you need to evaluate whether or not you need to be in that relationship. You are at a dangerous intersection and you need wisdom. You need to know what decision to make. You need to know what to do. Well, there's good news, because the Bible lets us know when we come to those dangerous intersections in life, the scripture tells us in the book of James, James chapter 1 and verse 5, he says this: if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not the man that asks think he receiveth anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in the fact that he is exalted. And this morning, we want to talk about how to pray for wisdom. How do you pray for wisdom? Amen. As you can see, the title of the lesson today is How to Pray for Wisdom, or A Lesson from Camel Knees.
Now you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? What do you mean when you say camel knees? Well, in your notes, it tells us about James, who was the half-brother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That, yes, after Jesus, he did have brothers and sisters. And one of Jesus' brother was James. And James was known as, some people say, as I was doing some reading on it, they say he was known as old camel knees, all right? But, you know, in a lot of traditional places, they just referred to him as camel knees. And why did he get the name of camel knees? Because he spent so much time on his knees in prayer that James was constantly before the throne of God. And literally, when he died, they examined his body and they said that his knees looked like that of a camel. Wow. Old camel knees. Because he spent so much time on his knees in prayer. And I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but people who are experts in their field, those are the ones that I like to hear from. Those are the ones that I want to dip into to get a little bit of knowledge from them. And if James wrote anything, or James says anything about prayer, man, you know, we ought to be like that dog salivating with his tongue hanging out of his mouth. We ought to be salivating to hear to anything that James said. If you know, can you imagine the testimony of a man who was known as camel knees because he spent so much time in prayer? I want to hear what he got to say, because evidently there was a lot of prayers that he threw up before the Lord, and there was a lot of prayers that he probably got answered. So in the book of James, in several places, he speaks specifically about prayer. And this is one occasion right here. He says that if anybody lacks wisdom, he said if you have come to the place in your life where you lack wisdom, he gives you advice what to do. The first we see the predicament. What is the predicament? Well, the predicament is you have come to a dangerous intersection in life, and you've got to make a decision. That's the predicament. And, you know, I wanted to do something this morning, but I didn't know how it would work, so I didn't do it. But I was going to ask people to write on a piece of paper any major decisions that you are facing right now, and just write it on a piece of paper, no name or anything, just pass it up, and just read them. Because I'm sure that there are a multitude of individuals here today that have to make major decisions. Some of you have to make major decisions maybe about your health care, or maybe you're caring for another person and you got to make a decision about their health care. Maybe there's a major decision you have to make today about a job. You know, a job opportunity has come up and you've got to make a decision about whether or not you want to take that job. Maybe a promotion on your job has come up and you've got to make a decision about that. Maybe you're thinking about getting into a relationship, or you're in a relationship, and you've got to make a decision about that. All those situations, James says, if any of you lack wisdom. You know, it's interesting, if you read with me in the notes, it says here, the predicament. James is speaking to anyone who finds himself needing wisdom for a specific situation. Most likely, he has experienced many occasions where he needed wisdom from on high, and he found it. Amen. I like that right there. And he found it. He takes the opportunity here, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to give a word of advice to those who find themselves in a similar condition. The word lacking is a banking term, and it means to have a shortage. There are many times when our earthly knowledge comes short of knowing exactly what to do, and we need the wisdom from God. Maybe you're having a shortage this morning. Maybe you need to make a decision and you've got all the facts from the worldly perspective. You know, you've talked and you've understood how this works, how that works. You understood it from the technical aspect, but you're at that crossroad and you need to make that decision. And you know what? Many people come to that place and they don't consult the Lord. They just go, it amazes me how Christians, who say that they love God and they want to do his will, how that they make decisions and they don't spend any serious time in prayer before the Lord. Well, you know, yeah, I pray about it, you know, every day. Well, I mean, that's fine. But you remember Paul? Paul said that he had a thorn in the flesh. And he said, I besought the Lord on three occasions. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think Paul prayed about his thorn in the flesh every day? Yeah, I believe he prayed about it every day. Whatever it was, I don't know what his thorn in the flesh was, but whatever it was something that was bothering him. I know I had a thorn in the flesh. You know, I still got a thorn in the flesh. And I pray about it every day. So why would he say on three occasions that he sought the Lord? Why aren't you praying about it every day, Paul? Yeah. Well, why did you identify three times that you sought the Lord on this? You know why? Because Paul's trying to let us know that there was times that he did a little bit more than that daily, now I lay me down to sleep prayer. He needed a little bit more than, Lord, you know I got this thorn in the flesh, help me today. He knew that he needed a little bit more than that, and so on three occasions, Paul wholeheartedly just set aside some time, and he cried out to God. He cried out for God's assistance. He cried out for God's help. And yet and still, many of us find ourselves in the same place as Paul with these decisions that we have to make, and then we just go through life where we pray about it every day. Well, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you need wisdom, you know, sometimes you need to set aside some time. You know, it's just like the song said, you know, have a little talk with Jesus makes it right. And that's what we do every day. We have a little talk with Jesus. Some days you don't need a little talk with Jesus. You need a long talk with Jesus. You need to spend some extended time before the throne of God. You need to spend some extended time on your face before God. Oh, this morning, men, pull up your pants. Ladies, pull up your dresses. Let me see your knees this morning. Let me see your knees. Are your knees getting a little rusty? Now, I know some of you are spiritual. Oh, Pastor Glaze, I don't pray on my knees. I pray sitting in my chair. I'm saying it figuratively this morning. You know, how's your knees? How's your kneology? You know, do you have camel knees? Have you worn out your knees before the throne of God? See, the predicament is, if anybody lacks wisdom, well, what do? The procedure. What's the first thing that you should do? He tells us right here. If any of you lack wisdom, he says, let him ask of God. Well, what does it mean to ask? All right, let me make this as simple as I can. What does it mean to ask God? It means to pray. That's what it means. If you don't know what to do in a particular situation, James says that you ought to pray. As simple as that. Now, once again, this is coming from a man who wore his knees out in prayer. This is coming from a man who knew something about prayer. He said, if you lack wisdom in a situation, he said, the thing that you need to do is pray. And let us be reminded that the Bible does say you have not. Somebody finish that for me. Because you ask not. Because you ask not. When I was in Lynchburg going through seminary, I had a good friend. And we were both training to be preachers together. And there was a guy at the church, you know, the church that I belonged to down there was about 15,000 members. I think that has probably grown bigger than that. But they had all, you know, they had a lot of high-profile people, you know, in the ministry. And I remember this brother told me that he had wrote, because the guy who was the worship leader, you know, he was sharp, man. He used to dress sharp. And this brother told me that he had wrote a letter to the minister of music and asked him if he had some suits that he could give him. I said, man, that was pretty bold of you, man. I said, man, you just going to step up on a brother and ask him if he has some suits to give you? He said, well, the guy looks like he's about my size. And then he told me this. He said, well, the only thing he can say is no. And you have not? Because you ask not. I mean, it's as simple as that. You know, if you don't ask, you're not going to get it. And so God says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But not only to ask God, but he says, look, secondly, what he says. He says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. And then jump down to verse 6. It says, let him ask in faith. See, this is the key right here. You got to ask God, and you got to ask God in faith. You got to ask God, and you got to, you know, now there's a whole lot of prayer requests that God probably just looks down and he laughs at. You know, God, you know, you ask God, God, give me $1 million. And God probably says, yeah, right. You know, God, you know, give me a big house, big mansion on a hill, you know. And he might do that, but, you know, a lot of times, you know, God is giving, yeah, man, you know, okay, yeah. But I believe that there's two prayers that when we pray, that God will answer every time. Every time God will answer. Number one, I believe that when a sinner prays and asks Christ for forgiveness and for Christ to come into his heart and save him, God answers that prayer right away. And I believe that any time that we are in a situation and we don't know what to do, and we ask God, that God will speak to our hearts and tell us what to do. You know, now he might not give it the answer that we want, or he might not give it when we want it, but if we pray, God will answer. If you come to God and you ask God for wisdom, Lord, you know I'm serious about this situation. Lord, you know I'm in dire straits. Lord, you know I'm at a dangerous intersection, and I need you to show me what to do. Lord, I need you to tell me what to do. The Bible says if you come to an earthly father and you're asking for a fish, that he won't give you a serpent. If you come to an earthly father and you're asking for a piece of bread, he won't give you a stone. How much more should our Heavenly Father give wisdom, good gifts to them that ask him? And if you come to God and you like get like Paul, and you, Paul said, I besought the Lord thrice. I besought him on three occasions. If there's something that's so pressing in your life that you need an answer from the Lord and you seek him, God will answer that prayer every time. He will answer that prayer every time. You see, I was having a problem with my car, and I didn't know what the problem was. I just heard this noise, and I got one of the saints who knows cars, who I trust, because this brother has been to school to learn how to deal with cars from A to Z. He's learned how to deal with cars from the, when they make them in the on the assembly line, all the way to when they sell them in the storeroom, and everything in between, how to repair them and everything. And so I said, man, look, take a ride with me. He got in my car. We was riding. Now what? I believed that when this guy was sitting there, he was going to be able to tell me what the problem was. Well, I wouldn't have asked him to go with me. I'd have found somebody else to go. Plus, I was trying to save a few dollars, you know. He got in the car, and we started riding. We was riding, and all of a sudden, the noise came, and he said, I know exactly what that is. I said, what is that? He said, that's a ball bearing in your wheel. I said, oh, okay. I said, thank you very much. So he said, but now I can't fix it. He said, but that's what it is. So I had to take it to the place, and the man looked at it, and he said, you know what your problem is? And I didn't want to tell him that I knew. I said, no, what is my problem? He said, you got a bad ball bearing in your wheel. When I asked the brother to ride with me, I believed that he was going to give me an answer as to what was wrong. And when I asked God to get in my car to find his will, I got to believe. Oh, somebody say amen this morning. Somebody say amen this morning. I got to believe that God, I got to believe that he's going to tell me what I need to know. That's why James said, if anybody lack wisdom, let him ask. And how should we ask? We should ask in faith. We should ask in faith. You know, I began to meditate on what it means to ask in faith. If you'll put that slide up, what does it mean to ask in faith. Keys to asking in faith. Number one, it means that you ask with a humble spirit. That when you have a need for wisdom in your life, you want to find out what to do, that you ask with a humble spirit, that you come like a beggar begging for food. You know that beggar that's begging for food? You know, he can't. I remember one time when we were across the street. I was coming out the church. That's one thing, you know, I like about this, you know, this setup over here. You know, I can kind of slip out the back, Jack, make a new plan, Stan. No need to be coy, Roy. Just listen to me. Just hop on the bus, Gus. Don't need to discuss much. Just rub off the key lead and set yourself free. You know, so I can slip out the back. But over there, my car was over here in the parking lot. And I leave the church sometimes late. And, you know, just crossing the street, you know, you run into a lot of people. I remember one day I was getting into my car, and I ran to this brother. And he said, man, I'm hungry. He said, can you give me something to eat? And I said, well, you know, we have a food bank here, and you know, if you come, you know, when, you know, the regular hours, you know, we can probably hook you up with something to eat. He said, man, but I'm hungry right now. He said, can you give me something to eat? And I knew that Wendy's had a junior bacon cheeseburger for $1.05. And I said to the brother, I said, well, look, here goes $1 in a nickel. I said, you can go to Wendy's and you can get a junior bacon cheeseburger for that. And he said, oh, thank you. He said, now when I come back, you know, tomorrow and I ask for some food, you know, who should I say, you know, told me to come? I said, well, my name is Pastor Glaze, and I'm the pastor of the church. He said, you the pastor of the church? And I said, yeah. He said, you mean to tell me all you're going to give me is $1.05 and you the pastor of the church? I said, man, give me my money back. He just took off with my $1.05 down the street. See, you know, there's one thing about a beggar. A beggar can't be proud. And a beggar can't jump up and demand stuff. You know, if you're begging, you got to come with a humble spirit. And so when you come and you're asking God for wisdom, you've got to come with a humble spirit. You know, Lord, I need wisdom. Father, I'm not going to be up in here depending on my own knowledge and my own wisdom, Lord, because I know where that's going to get me. But Lord, I need wisdom from you. Secondly, you got to ask with a dependent spirit. You got to ask like, Lord, if you don't do this, I'm not going to make it. Father, if you don't give me wisdom in this situation, I'm not going to make it. You know, it's just like that nest that was outside my window with some robins in it. And the mother was, and I had a bird's eye view. I was able to look out my window at this little nest right down into it. And there were some little baby robins in there. And the mother was flying around, and she got some worms for the babies. And when she came back, guess what them babies was doing? Mouth open and waiting. They was dependent. They were dependent on the mother robin. And when we come to God and we don't know what to do in a situation, we need to, God, I'm dependent on you. Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation, but you know, God, and I'm dependent on you. Number three, we need to ask God with a trusting spirit. That if we don't know what to do, we need to ask God with a trusting spirit. You know, I often think of the individual on the trapeze in the circus, and how that when the guy is swinging on the trapeze, and how that in midair, he lets go. He's just out there in midair. And what is his one hope? That the guy on the other side has let the other trapeze go at the right time for him to be able to grab onto it. And just for that moment, as he's spinning out there in the air, he is totally trusting.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were blessed by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How to Pray for Wisdom. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, How to Pray for Wisdom, You can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request How to Pray for Wisdom, or program number 100-314. That's 877-831-5060 and request How to Pray for Wisdom, or program number 100-314. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.